Stone Barrington hipped his way out of a cab, the Bentley who was being serviced, and found a discreet doorway with a polished brass number. He rang a bell and was answered by a silken female voice. "How may I help you?" She made it sound more like a bordello than what he was looking for. "Stone Barrington to see John Coulter. Please, come in," a buzzer gently sounded. Stone entered the doorway, which led him to another doorway that led to a comfortably furnished sitting room, Chesterfield sofa, etc., which made the place seem more like an exclusive gentleman's club. A young woman in a Chanel suit sat behind a large mahogany desk. "Good morning," she said, identifying herself by her voice as the person Stone had heard on the intercom. "Mr. Barrington?"
"Yes."
"Will you follow me?"
That turned out to be an unexpected pleasure, as the suit was snug and its contents shapely.
She led him to a door bearing a placard with a brass plate. "Lark" was imprinted upon it. She knocked gently, but firmly. There was a muffled response. Then she opened the door and stood back for Stone to enter first. The room was akin to a junior suite in an upscale boutique hotel. Once the door had closed behind him, he found that even the hospital bed was made of mahogany, as was the rack beside it, from which a pair of IV bags were draped. The lighting was pleasant without the usual glare. A cheerful conflagration burned in a gas fireplace, and a silk dressing gown hung from a peg on the wall near the foot of the bed.
"Stone?" a man's voice asked. "Is that you? It hurts to open my eyes."
The man was unidentifiable because of a large bandage across the bridge of his nose.
"It is I, Jack. I hope you feel a good deal better than you look. They just gave me some morphine. It will kick in shortly. Then I'll feel human again."
Jack Coulter's voice was the well-modulated, upper-accented baritone Stone had expected.
"Ah," Jack breathed. "The morphine kicked in?" "I'm probably going to become addicted before they let me out of here. Would you like a drink?"
"What, grain alcohol?"
"There's a bar in the cupboard over there."
Jack waved a hand. Stone opened the door and found a full wet bar, sink, ice machine, a row of Baccarat whiskey glasses, and a dozen choices of libation. He found a bottle of Knob Creek bourbon, filled a glass with ice, then filled that with bourbon.
"I'm not offering you one because I don't think you should mix booze and morphine," he said. "I don't need it," Jack said contentedly. "Have a seat."
Stone pulled up a well-padded, burnished leather armchair and sank into it. Jack seemed to doze for a moment. Stone took the opportunity to reminisce about his first encounter with the man who had walked into his office in his Turtle Bay townhouse a few years back. He was maybe 6'4", 250, wearing a dated suit that he could barely button. He had had a haircut that had been inflicted entirely with electric shears and had been carrying a large suitcase and a smaller non-matching duffel. He was frightening until he spoke, in a voice much like the one he used now. He was also a good storyteller. His name was John Fratelli, he said, and he had been a guest at an upstate hostelry called Sing Sing until early that morning. He had spent the past 23 years there and had served all his time without application for parole. That explained the haircut, Stone thought, and the 23 years explained the suit. Stone inquired as to why he had not accepted parole. Fratelli explained that he had had an obligation to protect a fellow resident who was smaller and weaker than he, and who had been in increasingly delicate health for the past 3 years. A few days earlier, he had died in his bed. His name was Eduardo Buono. Fratelli's name meant nothing to Stone, but Buono's rang a loud bell. He had been the mastermind behind the heist of $15 million from a currency handling operation at John F. Kennedy Airport, after which he had distributed half the take among a half dozen abettors, then vanished into the mists with the other $7.5 million after instructing them not to spend a penny of the money for a year.